15 minutes, 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Tower cleared.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. This world in arms is not spending money alone. It is spending the sweat of its laborers, the genius of its scientists, the hopes of its children. The cost of one modern heavy bomber is this: a modern brick school in more than 30 cities. It is 2 electric power plants, each serving a town of 60,000 population. It is 2 fine, fully equipped hospitals. It is some 50 miles of concrete. We pay for a single fighter plane with 500,000 bushels of wheat. We pay for a single destroyer with new homes that could have housed more than 8,000 people.
On today's rant, I'd like to start by stating that my book, UFOs, Area 51, and Government Informants, has been re-released. I updated it after the last little bit of UFO information. So I have, that can be found at Amazon.com. UFOs, Area 51, and Government Informant is a book that I first wrote in 1991. I've updated it a couple times. Not much has really changed in terms of the stuff I discovered in 1991. For example, the Area 51. I will be doing a three-part series on Area 51 that I've done in other places. And that I all got from the research that we did in 1989, 1990, when the Area 51 story was breaking. And I may do a fourth part to add on, because I now have all the files, Stanton Friedman's files from Area 51, which is an extensive amount of material. And as people would know, Bob Bigelow has now come forward and made some statements about Bob Lazar. So that's the one thing. The other thing that I'll note right up front, I have a book called Breakthrough, which has been released, and it's also on Amazon. What I want to talk about today regarding the UFO cover-up stuff is an article that has appeared on the New York Post, and this is titled UFOs Harassed U.S. Warships Off California, a Report. Mysterious flying objects repeatedly harassed 3 U.S. warships. And in the article, they make references to brazen maneuvers being made by UFOs. And so I've worked on this a lot over the years. And the question is, so what does this mean? That a warship is interacting with supposedly these small orbs were dive bombing the thing. The point is that something is going on. And one of the things that has to be looked at first is maybe this has always been going on. And only since people are now talking out of the Pentagon have we learned about it. Perhaps this is why there is a cover-up. The military is being harassed, and there is absolutely nothing we can do about it. Question is, would that be a very good thing for the military-industrial complex with its $735 billion defense budget be willing to admit that there's a phenomenon that they're interacting with that they can do absolutely nothing about? This is sort of backed up a bit by the Trump briefing. I've done the president's through the years, and Trump made a statement that he had been shown the videos and that they were very, very interesting videos, but he still didn't believe, which tended to indicate that they didn't have much more beyond the videos, that they're showing him videos like the Nimitz video and these videos and saying, Mr. President, this is what we've got. These unknown objects are flying around. We're really not too sure what's going on, and there's nothing we can do about it. And left Trump in a position where he just simply said, okay, I've seen the videos and I still don't really believe. And the question again arises, why would these UFOs not be doing brazen maneuvers to me and to my friends? It appears that this kind of stuff is being done only to the military-industrial complex. And that raises a very important question. I've always talked about the theory of wow. That the more I go along, the more I believe that the UFO phenomena is doing only one thing. It is an intelligence that is basically wanting us to go, wow. It's doing a circus and then delivering a message. And that's all it's doing, is delivering a message. So when I look at the interaction between these objects and the Navy, I see a message being delivered. And the message to me would be that they're not really here to eat us. They're not really here to give us toys or to take over. If those things had happened, we would have known that by now. So what would be the message in harassing a warship? People may forget that Blue Book in around 1950, I'm not sure exactly what the exact date was, actually produced a map in which they showed back when this thing first started, that military bases, places where they were building atomic bombs, and places where they were refining plutonium for nuclear power plants were all having interactions from unidentified objects. So this is not something that's new. This is not something that just started. And it would appear that they have some sort of concern, number one, about the military-industrial complex, that they have some concern about nuclear weapons, and that is where you get this thing where they shut down the nuclear missiles, and that they have concern about nuclear power. There's another example that comes forward, and I totally am at odds with the stories that are being told about the Paul Benowitz situation. Richard Doty's come forward lately and made some new allegations about what they were trying to cover up with Benowitz. In earlier on, he had given to Greg Bishop for his book the fact that the reason they were going after Benowitz to disinform him was that he was interrupting an operation called Project Rainbow and a second project, but Project Rainbow was one of them, and that what they were doing is they were forcing Russian satellites to go out of orbit and making them go in different directions. And that's why he was picking this up, communications. But if they were doing that, he said, well, now it's been released. But nobody really checked it. If you go back and check Project Rainbow, it has absolutely nothing to do with satellites at all. The second thing about that is that satellites actually are like rocks, especially Russian satellites in the 1980s. They just go in one sort of direction. They put them up at a high speed, and they go, and once they start slowing down, they get caught to the top of the atmosphere, and then they come back into Earth's atmosphere. They really can't make U-turns. They don't. You can't send them signals to do different stuff. They go in a straight line, and so the idea that they're, you know, making Russian satellites go in different directions was kind of crazy. Now he's changed the story to the fact that they were blinding the satellites with a laser that they did develop, which is almost as crazy a story. There's always been these stories about the Russians. Bob Lazar had told the story that they had given him some sort of little pea shooter, that they wanted a $500 deposit, and said that, oh, we were working with the Russians on the UFO program at Area 51, and the Russians got kicked out of the program, and now they may come back and they may try to abduct you and grab you. And of course, Lazar fought because he had an Uzi, he had all sorts of guns, and he was totally intent about not paying $500 deposit for some little stupid gun they were trying to get him to carry. So the reason I say that Benowitz was targeted was because he was identifying what a lot of people have identified, and that was he was identifying UFOs over the Manzano weapons storage area. The Manzano weapons storage area was the biggest repository for nuclear weapons in the world. It's not there anymore. They don't use it for that anymore. But that was the big repository. And he was seeing UFOs over the nuclear weapons storage area. That is something that they would not want out. Absolutely not want out. And this is where you see this connection to the military-industrial complex. Lou Elizondo had actually stated that the Nimitz carrier group had more nuclear potential power than the state of New York. So you have, all sorts of nuclear-powered aircraft carriers potentially having nuclear weapons on them, and this might be something that the intelligence behind the UFO phenomena would want. And what you see with these various incidents that have taken place with the U.S. military is that the intelligence behind the phenomena is coming very, very close. So they're coming as close as they possibly can to get them to go, wow, did you see how close that thing came to the plane? Did you see how it came close to the ship? And it's what the Navy would call a shot across the bow. It is just an indicator to show who's actually in charge. And that was something that I learned. Jim Semivan, the CIA guy who's the co-director of To the Stars Academy, is an experiencer who had the beings in his room. And he was asked at one point by somebody, who's in charge? Who's running it? And I think the reference was to who in the government is running it. And the story I heard that Jim Semivan said, they are in charge. They are running it. So if you start looking at the cases, for example, the Nimitz carrier with the 2004 incident with the Nimitz, you have the objects were around for quite a while, trying to get the attention of the military. And then when they finally decided, okay, we're going to go and put some F-18s up and we're going to go chase this thing. And it is at that point that it almost appears to me that they sent a second UFO to go under the water and make big giant bubbles so that this would really impress the people as they were flying by. And of course, everybody did report that you had this big thing, like something had sunk under the water. If you take a look at the incidents and it did get people's attention. So everybody was attentive to the fact that these things were around and they really didn't do anything. They were just sort of announcing, we're here, we're watching you, this sort of thing. When you get the ones in the 2015 off of the coast of Florida, these ones where you have the orbs inside the cubes, this was much more dramatic. This was walking right in, bringing the thing within inches of the plane to show how much control they had over what was going on and the fact that they are running the show. Now we have these close encounters with the warships, and we start to wonder how many of these cases have taken place and why is it with the military. It would appear to me that the message is they are not happy with the military-industrial complex. Now they've shut down nuclear missiles. We all know that, and people get upset. You know, how could they dare shut down our nuclear missiles? They're going to try to just stop us from destroying the world. The idea that this is a threat would be kind of crazy. In that, if they can shut down the nuclear weapons around the world, I think they should get the Nobel Prize from now till eternity. I actually just got an email from somebody in the Minot. My 1975 case, I believe, was locked into nuclear weapons that were in North Dakota. There was 300 nuclear weapons. 1975, they put in the pre-Star Wars, the anti-ballistic missile unit in North Dakota on the ground. They put in 100 new nuclear missiles to try to shoot down Russian nuclear missiles in the outer space. And then if they missed them there as they were coming in, to try to protect the missiles in North Dakota with these small Sprint missiles that had nuclear weapons on them, to try to protect the missiles. So I was told that there was some incidents in 1975 where they tried to ram one of these objects over top of a nuclear missile silo. I was with an experiencer by the name of I won't say her name, but at a place called Cools Root, North Dakota. An incident in 1988, three young girls see this UFO come out of the missile silo, right out of the metal thing. I asked her where to come. She said it came out of that metal thing. UFO totally freaked out these three girls. And so you have that incident. And I've now just gotten an email from somebody in the Minot field. So there's two fields of missiles south of me. One was the Grand Forks missiles, which have now been shut down. And the other was the Minot nuclear missile base, which is still operational. This is where we had this 1988 one that I was there. That's still operational. And I was told in an email just recently that this girl dated a guy there, and she's maintaining that a bunch of missiles were shut down there, same as in 1967. They shut down 10 nuclear missiles at Malmstrom, and this is just a display that we're in charge, and they're very upset about this, as was already displayed by Wilbert Smith in 1950 to 1954 in the contacts he had. He stated that was clearly the message, that they wanted the nuclear missiles shut down, they wanted the testing to stop, and that this would interfere with the rest of the universe, and that they were here, and that they would stop a nuclear missile attack or an exchange to save the world. But they really didn't have that much concern about the world. They said, other than stopping a nuclear missile exchange, we will allow the human race to stew in its own juices. So the idea that these weapons are of great fear to this intelligence, and that they are giving us indications that they are not happy with this. So we have Malmstrom, we have these incidents over and over again where they're doing it. We even have the one with the Russian where they allowed the thing to count down and actually go where the guys had actually thought that they had launched it. We have the stuff that was done at Skinwalker Ranch, where we went in there, of course, because we're big and tough, and we had special forces guys armed, and we were going to take on this intelligence that was at Skinwalker Ranch. And as people know the story, that three people were on the road. They were basically telepathic messages put in their head and said, leave, you are not welcome. And that this hitchhiker phenomena, which is common with all UFO experiences, but the hitchhiker phenomena followed them home, and that there was wine bottles flying across the room, smashing against walls, and that their roommates actually moved out. It was so traumatic to these special forces guys. And I asked whether they're armed, and I did get an indication later they were armed. George Knapp made a very, I think, telling statement with regards to his experience with Skinwalker Ranch. He said, those who were the most aggressive to the phenomena had the worst experiences. And then lastly, as I said, we had the Canadian thing in 1950 where this being that was being interacted by about five different people had stated that there was great concern with nuclear missiles. Now, a lot of people have interpreted these sort of interactions with the military as a threat. And I would just say, well, if you take a look at the military-industrial complex, what is there in the world that isn't a potential threat? They would consider everything a potential threat. So that really doesn't go anywhere. We hear stories about, you know, the footprints in the living room, and then the one with children, that if they, you know, if my children were taken, touched, that would be kidnapping, and that would be assault, and we would have to do something about it, then it is a threat. So if we were to reverse the situation and take a look at it from the intelligence point of view, we could actually say, if they were to take my children and drop an atomic bomb on them, Would the military-industrial complex that did that be considered to be a potential threat? Absolutely. If they were to take my children and put them in a cage on the U.S.-Mexican border with 5,500 other kids, would that be considered to be a threat? Absolutely. So when you start looking at it from the side of the intelligence, we start to identify that, as Bashar said, when he was asked who is the race that we need to be feared of, he said you, referring to the human race, that we are the race that is the actual base of the problem. So the military-industrial complex and the attitude we have now is that this is our airspace. And I would remind the military-industrial complex and anybody else who believes that it is not our airspace. The airspace belongs to the universe. We are just here as caretakers and guardians of the airspace. And if it comes down to if anybody does own the airspace, the intelligence owns the airspace. Everybody will admit that the intelligence was here long before we got here. And therefore, it's their sandbox. It is their airspace. And perhaps we should learn to play nicely in the sandbox. Maybe that's the message they're giving us. You play nicely in the sandbox or we're going to kick you out of the sandbox. And nobody owns the airspace, but if anybody does, they're the ones that own the airspace. So what we have now is a situation where people are going to Congress. They have sort of played this up as a threat. As a potential threat, and now as a threat, and then we need to do something, and the idea that we're on the verge, we know how this stuff works, and that we just give us a few billion dollars, and we are going to try to shoot these things down. And I actually talked to some people about it, about the stupidity of trying to shoot these down, because you're going to be shooting down everything that flies in the sky. And I was actually told, well, no, there's a vibration that the good guys, the good races, we won't shoot them down, but the bad races vibrate different, and we can actually tell a difference, and we're just going to shoot down the bad guys. So you have this hierarchy that people believe in, this hierarchy of races, that we have the grays, who are bad guys, then the really bad guys are the black reptilians, and then we have the Caucasian ones, who are the good guys, and then we have the really good guys, the ascended masters, who are none other than the Great White Brotherhood. So we have this idea about, you know, races and good races and bad races, and that we have this arrogance that we think that we're actually going to go in there, we're going to try to shoot it down. So let me quote to you from Ryan Bledsoe. He's the son of Chris Bledsoe, and Chris Bledsoe, everybody knows, has a lot of contact with a lot of military and intelligence people in the U.S. government. They're watching his level of contact. They're trying to figure out who is he talking to, what can they learn from his contact. And this is what Ryan said. Disclosure belongs to the phenomena and not to any government. I know for a fact, based upon my intelligence contacts who did research at Skinwalker Ranch, that the phenomena messes with the military and they are powerless to capture it. That is my experience as well, that there's absolutely nothing you're going to do. As Jim Semivan said, they're running the show. And that this idea that we're going to be aggressive towards this phenomena, we're going to end up like these people at Skinwalker Ranch, it could get very ugly. We tried this in the 1950s, and it didn't work then. We lost a lot of planes. We lost a lot of people. We have this hitchhiker phenomena, but we actually have this sort of arrogance. Bill Clinton, in 1996, when the Independence Day ran, he was actually asked in an interview, do you think if we actually were invaded that we would win? And he said, yeah, I think we'd come together and we would win. Well, that's total arrogance that we think that we're going to take this on. My position would be, it's a lot less physical, it's 1,000 times more complex than people think, and we have not got a clue. Frank Edwards was a reporter, he had 10 million listeners on radio in the 1950s before TV got going. He was a very, very powerful broadcaster. He was also into UFOs. He stated that he talked about the shoot down order that Truman had given, where Truman decided that he thought he could shoot these things down over Washington, D.C., and a bunch of telegrams went into the White House between the first week and the second week in July of 1952, when these UFOs were flying over the Capitol. And one of the people, according to Frank Edwards, that went to Truman was Albert Einstein. And Albert Einstein was giving him a warning to stop the shoot-down order. And according to Frank Edwards' quote, this is what he said, this is what Einstein said, "Mr. President, anybody who can come across millions of miles of space will know what to do, or will know how to protect themselves once they get here. Please don't start something you can't finish." And according to Frank Edwards, that was the first time to give him hell. Harry decided maybe it would be better not to give him any hell. This is going to be a situation, if we get into this shoot down nonsense, we're going to be like the guys in the Israeli tanks where, they had no idea that, missiles had been developed that were computerized that, the A-10s could launch and they would not even know that their tank had been hit until it got hit. So we had these big expensive Russian tanks, and in the end, the Iraqi guys were just running from the tanks because it was like target practice. I will maintain exactly the same thing is going to, it would take place, that if we get into this thing, we're going to lose a lot of planes. We're going to be, as I would say, going down like the setting sun. It all bases around, I believe, the money game. And this is what Ron Pandolfi always calls the techno scam. That what is going on is people trying to scam people for money to maintain that you have some sort of foothold on this thing, that you understand it, and if you give us so much money, we will figure this thing out, and these things are a threat, and if you give us all this money, we'll build something and we'll shoot these things down because they're a threat to us. This goes into the same sort of situation that we have with the F-35 jet fighter. It is parts are made in all but 4 states, and the reason that that is done is because if there's people hired in your district, and I believe there's like 250,000 people working on F-35, if you've got people in your district that are helping build the F-35 jet fighter, you're going to be very reticent to vote against it, no matter how many billions of dollars per copy that they want for the plane. The Canadians are even there's some discussions with Americans, with Canadians, with UFOs, government people, opposition member people, and when I was advising them with questions, they were again talking about the F-35 jet fighter. So it's this military industrial complex, this vicious circle. And at the beginning, I played the Eisenhower "Beware the Military Industrial Complex" part of the speech. It actually was, I was at the Eisenhower Library. It is actually much different than that. It is "Beware the military-industrial congressional complex." That's in the original speech. At the very last minute, they took out "congressional" as to not offend Congress. But the idea is, once you get Congress involved and you close the loop, you can't stop it. The money will flow and you cannot stop it because everybody's got their hand in the cookie jar. Everybody's getting money out of it and nobody wants to stop the money. So we have $700 billion budget. And if Congress people all get into getting part of that for their district, they're going to be against any sort of stopping of the money. So this is what I believe is going on. And if you've got a $735 billion defense budget and you suddenly decide there is no enemy, there is nobody that we need to kill, then that all just collapses, and I'm sure the military doesn't want to, give up their, high-paying jobs and their stock benefits and stuff like that to go work for Walmart. So, in conclusion, I would say this, that Eisenhower made the warning back in the day before he left office. And he was a 5-star general, and he was also an 8-year president. 5-star general is higher. You can only have 4-star generals now. And I think it is about time to take the advice of Eisenhower and reconsider the idea that we are going to have a military-industrial complex and we're going to be a war society, because it's very evident to me that the intelligence behind the phenomena is giving us a very serious warning. They are not coming after people. They're going after the military-industrial complex, and they're leaving messages that the game is up, that they've had enough with this sort of stuff, and it's a losing battle. There's absolutely nothing anybody's going to do to stop it. The message is there, and hopefully we will be smart enough to listen. Thank you. That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, watch this space, and thank you so much for listening.